I guessed that the women around me would think there might be, but I could do little about that now.
Some air, Your Majesty?
I beg your pardon, I inquired, realizing that Brinda Aldren had been speaking to me and that I hadn't heard half of what she'd said. Those narrow, dark eyes of hers narrowed further.
I was just saying that they were opening the doors to the courtyard and asking if you wanted some air.
A transparent ploy. While I had to give her some credit for attempting to keep me to herself, I knew I would never allow myself to be alone with her. Ah, I think it's better that I take a turn around the reception chamber. But you are certainly welcome to accompany me. Her expression, which had begun to cloud over, suddenly cleared, and a triumphant little smile played about her mouth. Now, this was one young woman I would feel no guilt over disappointing. The audience chamber had an adjoining room that was sometimes used when the crowds expected were deemed to be of greater than average size. Now the servants were swinging open the large doors that connected the two spaces, and I saw in the chamber beyond tables heaped with sweets and the sort of small savoury dishes so popular for evening functions, along with many bottles of wine that gleamed like dark jewels amongst the autumn leaves and warm-toned flowers. Already people were flowing into that room, their hunger enhanced by having to sit and listen to music quietly for the greater part of 2 hours. As I rose from my seat, Brinda got up as well. She seemed determined to stick by my side like a cockle-burr, and I made myself repress an exasperated sigh. We had just entered the reception hall when two more young women approached us, or rather, they seemed acquainted with the Aldren girl, and sidled up to her in an obvious attempt to get closer to me. I recognized them at once, for they were a perfect fit to Ashara's description of them. One overly plump, the bodice of her pale green gown obviously more fortified than a castle's walls, in a vain attempt to contain her generous bosom and rounded stomach. The other one passably pretty, but with an odd, strained look to her eyes that belied their myopic tendencies. The stepsisters. I believe I managed to smile, and if the expression was somewhat strained around the edges, I do not think they noticed, for they were too busy curtsying and saying,
"Good evening, Your Majesty."
"Good evening, Your Majesty."
"Lady Janaris and Lady Shalin Malenge, Your Majesty," Brinda told me. Her tone seemed to indicate that she did not mind making the introduction, for she saw neither of them as a threat. No, it is the sister who is not here who is the true threat. "Ladies," I said, and bowed. How I wished I could say something cutting to them. A few carefully chosen words to let them know that I did not approve of them or their mother. But I had promised Ashara, and I did not make promises lightly.
"And what did you think of the music, Your Majesty?" inquired Shalin, squinting as she attempted to focus on my face.
"I thought it was most excellent, my lady. And you?"
"Oh, it was quite the thing. Janaris and I both adore music, although we have little opportunity to hear it with."
And she broke off, for her sister had quite obviously jabbed her in the ribs to prevent her from saying anything else.
"What she means, Your Majesty," Janaris cut in,
"is that while we have music all the time at dinner, or when we have our own dances at our house,
we do not have quite so many musicians, so it was a treat to hear six of them playing at once."
At this revelation, Brinda rolled her eyes, clearly not fooled by this pretense to a level of wealth I was sure they did not have.